Right. Please accept with no obligation, implied or implicit, my best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, low-stress, not addictive, gender-neutral celebration of this winter solstice holiday practiced within the most enjoyable traditions, the religious persuasion, or secular practices of your choice, with respect to the religious secular persuasions and or traditions of others or their choice, not to practice religious or secular traditions at all. In addition, a fiscally responsible, personally fulfilling, and medically uncomplicated recognition of the onset of the generally accepted calendar year, but not without due respect for the calendars of choice and other cultures whose contributions to a society have helped make America great. Not to imply that America is necessarily greater than any other country, or is the only America in the Western Hemisphere, and without regard to the race, creed, color, age, physical ability, religious faith, choice of computer platform, or secular orientation of the wisher. Disclaimer. By accepting this greeting, you are accepting these terms. This greeting is subject to clarification or withdrawal. It is freely transferable with no alteration or to the original greeting. It implies no promise by the wisher to actually implement the wishes for her, himself, or others, and is whatsoever prohibited by law, and is revocable at the sole discretion of the wisher. This wish is warranted to perform as expected with the usual application of good tidings for a period of 1 year or until the issuance of the subsequent holiday greeting, whichever comes first. And warranty is limited to the replacement of this wish or issuance of a new wish at the sole discretion of the wisher, who assumes no responsibility for any unintended or emotional stress these greetings may bring to those not caught up in the holiday spirit. Politically correct holiday greeting. What do you think? Well, what I'm going to have to say to you isn't politically correct, but it is in way of holiday greeting. And I do welcome you this morning. Thank you for coming. But more importantly, may the Lord bless you for being here this day. A couple of things that I want to point out in the bulletin, just in your bulletin itself, not in the announcement portion. You notice there on Wednesday night, it talks about, there's a notation from 8 to midnight that the Hmong Community Alliance Church New Year Party and Prayer. You are all invited to crash that party if you so desire. They will have food, they will have games, but they will also have prayer. If you would like to pray to bring in the new year, there will be a number of them who will be, well, there will be a portion who are kind of having games and celebrating, and there will be a general time of prayer. There are some people who will be focusing on prayer and just fasting and praying through the evening, and will be spending most of their time probably in the sanctuary in that. And you are invited to join them. Thursday noon, approximately, remember Hmong time, they will be having a worship service followed by a dinner. The service itself will take about 2 hours, and then they'll be having a dinner after that. So if you wanted to show up for any portion of that, you are again invited to do that. Just wanted to extend that invitation to encourage you to participate in that. Also, as Butch mentioned earlier in the announcements, we do have a prayer service on Sunday evenings at 6:30. This is the last Sunday of the year, and as we come into the new year, I think it's a good thing if you can spend some time in prayer. If you choose to do that at home with your family, or would I'd like to come and gather here at the church, it's beneficial for everybody involved. God does indeed answer prayer. I could ask for testimonies of people here who have answered prayer in their lives, and I think that the majority here would not stumble over finding one. Most of you here could very easily put your finger on at least one time in your life where God significantly answered your prayers, which He does always. He does indeed answer prayer. Sometimes the answer is no, but He does answer. Well, that's all I want to touch on with the announcements and the bulletin there. I will be here this evening for prayer. I encourage you to join me and anybody else who comes. I know George will be here, and usually Jeannie. And there's a couple others that occasionally show up. But I know that many of you have a heart for prayer, but you find it difficult to get here every week. You don't have to be here every week. Come when you can. If you can come this Sunday, great. Okay. The scripture passage comes from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. Again, I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 9, starting with the first verse. Okay. My monitor's gone, so I can't. Now, the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and the table and the consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They were only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applied until the time of the new order. When Christ came as the high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood. Having obtained eternal redemption, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Amen. Father God, we pray right now that you'd send your Holy Spirit to minister to us. Lord, that you would illuminate the Scripture for us, that you'd give us understanding that is beyond our earthly understanding, Lord, but is supernatural. Lord, as many times as many of us have read this passage, I know that there is new understanding here for each of us. Lord, bring that understanding to our hearts and minds today. And might we live it out, not just in this hour that we're here together, but in every moment that we breathe. Might we walk with you. Now, Father, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach, that indeed your word would be spoken in truth and in power, and that indeed it would be your name that is lifted up, and to you all glory is given. For we ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, granted, my politically incorrect holiday greeting was rather silly. I certainly don't agree with 98% of what's in it. Because when we say something, we need to say it unequivocally and not keep trying to hedge our bets. God didn't hedge His bets. He said, this is right, this is wrong. That was the first covenant. The covenant of the law. And people, we find, manage to break this covenant, sometimes even in ignorance, which required the intervention of the priest, the high priest, to go into the most holy place once a year on their behalf to ask forgiveness. Because for those sins which they knowingly committed, they were supposed to go themselves and seek forgiveness before the Lord. They were supposed to take a sacrifice to the temple and seek forgiveness from those sins. But that there were sins that they even made unknowingly, in ignorance. Nobody knew that they did it. You say, well, that's a pretty high standard. That there's so much out there that I can break the law without even knowing I did it. Well, I'll tell you what, it's certainly true of our civil law today. There's a bunch of laws out there none of you never even heard of. You've probably broken them a bunch of times. They have books and books. It would fill up this room, the U.S. civil law. God managed to put it all into just a few pages. But this law, this first covenant, where God said, if you will obey my covenant, I will bless you. Part of the purpose of this first covenant was to show us that we couldn't do it on our own. That we couldn't pay the penalty for our own sins. That we couldn't get it right. And there was the continual sacrifice, the sacrifice of the goats and the cattle. Because another thing that it showed us is that salvation required blood. Now this is all, in our, as far as today's society, rather incorrect. It's not a comfortable topic to talk about. Forgiveness of sin requires a blood sacrifice. I mean, it's rather gruesome, isn't it? It is. But sin is much more gruesome. Much more terrible. Eternal separation from God? That's horrible. There is nothing that is worse than that. And it was only through that blood sacrifice that there could be cleansing and restoration to that healing. But what we found was with the blood of animals, it was an imperfect sacrifice and it needed to be continually done, continually being forgiven, again and again. Every year, at the end of the year, the high priest would go in to that most holy place and give sacrifice and pray on behalf of all the people so that the Lord might bring blessing to them one more year. Well, with Christmas, we have the ushering in of the new covenant. And we have the actualization of it with Easter, Good Friday and Easter, where that blood sacrifice is given, that perfect sacrifice. You see, Jesus was without sin. And when He went to the cross, He didn't go to the cross because He did something wrong. He did it because I did something wrong. And I didn't even know it. You did something wrong. Your parents, your grandparents, your children, your grandchildren, those yet to be born, did something wrong. Will do something wrong. See, that perfect sacrifice was once for all time. Boom, end of story. No more sacrifice needs to be done. The price was paid with the blood of Christ. Jesus went to the cross. He did so not just as the Lamb, but He went also as the High Priest. And He entered through, it tells us here, not the earthly Holy of Holies, but the actual Holy of Holies in heaven. And He went through there. And when that perfect sacrifice was given, salvation was made available for you and for me, for my children, my grandchildren yet to be born. Free. Because it can only be done by the high priest. And we can receive it or not. See, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. And those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. The law is still there. And until we come under the blood of Christ, we are still operating under that first covenant. And it's when we come under the forgiveness of Christ that we step into the new covenant and receive salvation. And eternity with our Father in heaven. That's Christmas. That's Good Friday. That's Easter. That's the promise of God. It's why we were able to stand up this morning and sing, "Joyful, joyful!" Our Father God didn't leave us hanging, unable to ever fully meet that expectation. See, time and again, the priest had to go to the temple and have a new sacrifice. No more. No more. The time of sacrifice in the temple is over. Christ bought our salvation with His one perfect sacrifice. As we begin the new year, I would encourage you to begin it under the new covenant. See, we people were strange creatures. Some of us have heard of the new covenant and have rejected it, or said, maybe later, not right now, thank you very much. Some of us have received it and said, yes, I want it right now. And then set it to the side and proceeded to live as if we were still under the old covenant. Say, Lord, we thank You for this wonderful gift, and we set that gift aside and we don't use it. We don't live by it. We don't receive the blessing that's there for us. Some of us look at the gift and say, nope, don't want it. Some of us take it and say, thank you very much, and set it aside. How many of you did that with your Christmas presents this year? Dad, a gift? You said, oh, thank you very much. Sometimes you get a couple like that. One thing to remember, our Father God in heaven gives perfect gifts. Perfect. Nothing better. He has given you the perfect Christmas present. His Son Jesus. If you haven't received Him, receive Him. If you have received Him, take Him out of the box and walk with Him. See, the thing is, our Lord very rarely, I won't say never, I've learned not to do that, but very rarely forces our hand. You don't want to talk to me? He says, okay. But I'm right here if you want to talk to me. You sure you don't want to talk to me? That's His attitude. Because He's a loving, patient Father. But He has indeed given us that free will to choose to live with Him or not to. So, this year, I'm not going to give you that politically correct holiday greeting. Remember, there was a warranty and a disclaimer in there, and until you receive a new holiday greeting, well, here's your holiday greeting. May the love of Jesus Christ be with you. May our Father in heaven bless you and keep you. May the face of our Lord Jesus Christ be turned towards you and give you peace and give you grace. Might this next year be one in which you walk side by side with your Lord and Savior and God. Might you follow His each and every direction so that your life might be one which brings glory and honor to His name and which His blessing overflows your cup and touches all the people around you. May people see you and know that you are loved of God. Might they be in your presence and know God's peace. Because His peace flows from within you. May the Lord Jesus Christ reside within your heart and be lived out in your hands and your footsteps and your words each and every day. Let your family and loved ones know Christ's love as deeply and intimately as it is possible to know love. I pray this blessing upon you, this holiday greeting to be with you. And might it never end. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close.